each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. We're in Holy Week, and let's see, hi. We can't say right now TNT.
No, we have to change
Tony,
it.
Tony, Nick, and Tony, what would be TNTC?
Yeah.
That sounds nice, doesn't
TNTC.
It? TNTC.
I like that.
Tony, Nick, Tony, and Christina. Christina, yes. Welcome back.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Father. Christina. Welcome to you, Father.
We've missed you.
I've missed everyone.
I mean, I've seen you, but you're always around, but we've missed you on the radio, so maybe, and you'll be with us. You come, she only lives a block away. And
she, hey, don't.
And my mom told away. Me.
All her friends will be there.
Make sure you drive, because it's dangerous out
She drove.
I drove.
That. You should drive to work. Like, from the time, how many years did you work in the parish?
That's 25 years.
25 years. Wow.
25 years.
Unbelievable. I hired her, actually.
Yes.
She was right out of high school, right out of college.
College. Actually, wow. I was still in college.
Still in college,
yes.
Yeah. So that was a long time ago. But in any case, from the beginning, she would drive to work, you know? She lives a block away.
Well, you know, the traffic is bad.
Yeah, traffic's bad. I mean,
so anyway, we're in Holy Week.
It's
good to have you back on
Thank
the radio.
You so much, Father. It's great to be back.
And really nice, the readings. You both did
yes.
a great
Thank
job.
Thank you so
Beautiful
much.
Job on the readings.
I love when Christina reads.
Thank yeah. you. And you made me cry, Tony.
I know. I made myself cry.
You make everybody cry when you read. I don't know why they assign you the.
I don't know why.
Tony does the narrating for the Passion on every year, either on Sunday or on Friday.
Yeah, usually.
And he's just a crybaby, you know? It is very
getting
moving.
Into the
it
story.
Is. It
I mean,
is.
Ah. And I tried. I sat and I tried visualizing something else, but I
get it. Because I do it too. You know, there's times you.
Is that why you make me do it?
I mean, there are times that I can't get to a mass sometimes. Yeah.
And then you make us cry too, Father. Yeah. Sure. Everybody's crying.
And then afterwards, I'm thinking nobody's. Hey, the men aren't going to come back to the church because you know they say what kind of. But you really do. You get drawn into the.
Yeah.
Into the story, the drama.
Oh my gosh! It's because that was real. That's a reality, you know, and that reality is perpetuated on the altar of sacrifice. And so even and that's why at times, just celebrating the mass when I get to the well anyway I'm not reckoning.
No, you're getting emotional now.
No, that's not. But it is, and it's because it's the reality in people's lives as well. You know, there's a lot of suffering today, and you know we gotta keep hope. I've had an exchange of been exchanging some messages with some of the priests. Again, you know, like I said, I don't want to be pessimistic. I hope I'm a realist, but it is overwhelming at times. You know, when you see what's going on in the world and in the society and even in the church and I say it all the time, but I don't know if I'm the only one that uses this word, but the apostasy, this going away from the faith, you know, it's really ruining people's lives. And, you know, people come and things are so broken that, you know, all you can do is, we always, you know, we point people to Christ. Who didn't spare himself anything of what we suffered, right? He didn't spare himself anything. And even to the point that he who didn't sin became sin, he took sin to himself. and from the cross he redeemed us. But what? The fact is, you know, we look to the cross, but we see beyond the cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection. But when people are in the thick of it all, you know, that's why, you know, that cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, is something that many, it's a cry that many people, I think all of us at some point or another in our life journey have cried the same cry. But then, like the Lord, in the next breath, into your hands I commend my spirit, we've got to put our faith and our trust in God, in the Lord. And so we've been exchanging with some of the members, because I had written I always wonder, you know, like what do people see, what are they thinking, especially, you know, priests, and we got some really, really intelligent, very, very intelligent men, and very, very well spoken. You know, in fact, I was just reading yesterday the Holy Father. I was a commentary on what the Holy Father said about homilies. You know, and it was an interesting commentary because it was, you know, homily should be 8 to 10 minutes. The Pope said, and of course I know I can go on. And don't know when to land the plane. And so, you know, I was feeling really guilty as I was reading this article, because I thought, I'm guilty of all these things that are being said here about what people do or what people are subjected to, you know, by the priest. But, you know, you pray that God, you know, somehow. When I go to Mass, when I'm not, when I'm in Rome or whatever, and I... which we will talk about this today too, that visiting the seven churches. Because I would do the same thing that the Saint, I'm just like, you know, Saint,
Saint,
the Saint,
Saint Philip, is it Saint Philip Neri? Saint Philip, yes, Saint Philip, yeah. Not saying I'm a saint, but I found the article really, like the origins of why we visit the seven churches. But anyway, and so here I go, I'm kind of rambling, I'm all over the place, but there's so much, you know, there's so much you want to say, and you 8 minutes is just...
Yes, I don't know how you could do that in 8 minutes.
Well,
I
guess somebody who's really, really good, and you know, so for the radio, I can talk for a solid hour, as you know, and people, I'm again all over the place, and somebody said, you know, you're like a chef throwing food all over, and you don't know what's coming, you know, but it's at the end it just kind of all,
okay, it comes together.
Sometimes.
But life is like that. Life is like that.
Yeah,
you can't plan anything, and the same with Mass. You know, I remember, you know, even on Sunday I was so nervous because I haven't. I've been going to Mass, but I haven't been reading.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Father. And so the preparation, everything that goes into preparing for the Mass, I was so nervous. But once you go into the Mass, God takes over. He takes over, and it's His presence is so felt there.
Oh my gosh, I can remember
powerful. That.
That's how I feel with the reading sometimes. When somebody comes up to me and says, "Oh, you read well." And I think, no, it wasn't me.
It was him. Spirit.
Yeah, that's Lord, we especially need to know that this week, because this is such a stressful week, just in preparation, you know, the preparations, and because we're in Holy Week. It began with Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, and it all culminates in the sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and those days, everything is so different. It's very solemn, very beautiful. If you've never been to a sacred Triduum, those three holy days, which really tell the whole story, it puts everything in perspective. The solemnity and the beauty, and the richness is just. But the preparations for that, because everything changes every day, and so it's very, very stressful. But like you said, and that's what I've got to remember that now, because I'm starting to stress out already this week. But because then we got Divine Mercy Sunday after the on the octave. But the but you're right. When we once we enter into the Mass, it's like everything just kind of falls into place. It's just you know that the Spirit of God has taken possession,
yes,
really of our generosity, can I say, in gratitude for what has been done to us. We've been created, we've been redeemed, and we're disposed to be sanctified, right? To be purged, transformed, and sanctified. So, yeah, that's true. And you're the red that you know, you fit right in with the colors.
The
you know?
Color, because it's Palm Sunday.
Yeah,
so
no, I
remember it's the red
really
color.
Nice. It was very
Thank
nice.
You.
Yeah, because I think it was the same red as everything. I mean, there's different shades of red,
yes,
right? Or is it different shades of blue? I don't
and know. Yes, there are different shades of tones of all
yeah,
the colors.
Right. Yeah. So, but I've always heard that. Where does that come from? The different shades of blue.
But yes, there's a song.
But
there's probably
yeah,
a song.
Yeah.
But yes, there are different shades and tones.
Okay. Well, exactly. I'm looking right here. So here's that's a different. Well, the folder is
the folder
red, but it's a different red than the red you're wearing there.
Yes.
With the Cubs chat. Is that
yes?
Yeah,
I'm a Cubs fan.
You're a Cubs fan. So we won't hold that against you.
Yeah, we won't hold.
I'm a North Sider. So.
Yeah. Okay. So we should pray.
Yes.
I think so. Let me just readjust these. Okay.
Glasses and headphones.
Yeah, right. So it's good to have, really good having you
Thank
back,
you for,
Christina.
I'm so happy to be here. And it was exciting. I was like, I can't wait to go on the radio because
yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yes,
so.
It has.
All right, so let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy
Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, Look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America and the entire world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim the world for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, the sins of the world, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country, grant the world the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is a foundation on which we are founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so we're gonna take a break. And I did want to make one clarification. This is where I start a thought and then I don't finish it. But that people, you know, when we go away from God, we create. Things fall apart.
Yep.
Things fall apart to the point that, or maybe I did say it, that, you know, the only way to pull it together. Sometimes it's you know, the consequences are such that. You just got to live with the consequences. To put faith in God, who brings good out of evil, light out of darkness, and eventually life out of death. You know, that's really the why of the week, the Holy Week in the Triduum, is that those parting words of Jesus to the apostles in the farewell discourse, which we'll hear. Well, we actually won't hear it, but it happens on Holy Thursday, and I really encourage people to read the whole farewell discourse. It's John's Gospel. Is it 15, 16, 17 chapters? Chapter 15, 16, 17, I think. I have to check that out. But his last words before his high priestly prayer, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "You can have trouble in this world, but have courage. Be at peace. I've conquered the world." And so, if not for the risen Christ, you know, we would be the fools of all fools. Doesn't St. Paul say something about that, you know? Because we really do. Our love is sacrificial. And we don't put ourselves in the center, although we do. But we know we have to keep getting ourselves out of the center, keep God in the center, build on the foundation of His life. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance, to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony, and I'm Winds of Change, TNTC. Tony, Nick, and Christina.
It's cool. So,
I like that. It just got, it sounds
it
like
has a good ring to
TNTC,
it.
The Winds of Change. So do you know, you guys do this all every year. I don't know if you're going to do it this year because you're leaving. Maybe Tony's leaving from Mexico. He
depends.
Doesn't have a passport.
Maybe.
They're not going to let you in without a passport.
Might just wait on the outside. Hey, let me in.
Yeah. You're really up to the, you know.
It's cutting it close.
Cutting it close. Yeah. So he's leaving on Friday, right?
Hopefully, yeah.
If he gets his passport.
See, I'm trying to be very, I'm worried, but I'm not letting you see it. And there's a calmness that I think this is going to work out all well.
Yeah, it always does.
And if it doesn't?
If it doesn't, there's a reason for everything.
Right, yeah. That's right. Well, so anyway, so we had, I was getting ready for this quinceañera on Saturday. Normally we don't do the quinceañeras and weddings during the Lent, but we made an exception. But I don't know why we made the exception. And I happened to be, I didn't realize who it was.
Right. I think we were talking about it in the car, Angelica and I. He's probably not going to know.
No, I didn't. Anyway, so I went to the back of the church. Well, one of the things I have to say quite honestly is my clock had stopped. My watch had stopped, and so I thought I had all this time in preparation for the Mass. And there's Frank and Maciek and...
Father gets easily distracted.
Yeah, I do. I, on the other side
this
there.
This is a window.
But Sonia. No, I got it. Did I get it? Yeah, I got it. Okay, so I always call her Bridget. So that was in my mind, you know. So there are artisans, you know. They're right. Working on getting us ready for the Triduum, working on the crucifix. We've got this massive, beautiful crucifix that they're repairing, and it's a very graphic, you know, very, very beautiful. So that'll be for Good Friday. But anyway, I do digress. What was I saying now?
The quinceañera.
The quinceañera. Yeah. So we.
Christine, that's why I'm glad you're here.
So I get to the. Yeah, that's why I need people. Know. Yeah. So I went to the back of the. My watch had stopped. So I lost track of time. I realized only because I happened to see on the computer or my telephone or whatever. I don't carry my phone, but I just saw the time and I said, "Oh my gosh, we're up against the quinceañera." So anyway, I went out there. There's a crowd of people. Out there, and Jessica, the mother, was it Vivian?
Vivian,
yeah, the quinceañera. Yeah. Because I wanted to get them ready for, they had chosen the readings, and Jessica said, "Well, Angelica will do the second reading," and she spoke as if I knew Angelica, and so I pretended like, "Yeah, I know, yes," and so I assumed Angelica and Vivian were sisters, and that right. They were from our school. Right. Vivian was in they were in our school. So the other person doing the reading was Angelica. Right. So then I went back. You know, we're getting right up to the hour, so I went to the back. All these people are back there, and everybody's talking and hugging each other and all that because they're coming from Mexico right. And from California and all that. So I met the people that Tony and Angelica go to visit in California. And so I I asked, well, has Angelica showed up yet, your sister? And she said, oh, no, that's my cousin.
Cousin.
And then she pointed her eyes. Oh, Angelica. Oh. Okay, so now it all comes together, you know. So, but it was kind of nice. It was a big family reunion.
Right.
So if you don't go to Mexico, at least Mexico has come to you. But we hope and pray you get the passport.
Angelica's father's in Mexico, and I took him to the airport. When we took him to the airport, and these past few weeks, I'm always looking for him.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize the last thing he kind of said to us was, well, we'll see you in Mexico.
We'll see you in Mexico.
So it's like I keep looking for him, even for...
So he wasn't at the quinceañera.
No.
I was wondering about that because I saw Angelica's mother.
So you're in,
it's just
you're
a beautiful just like person. By These are the humble... religious, humble,
faithful.
This is the Anawim. Yes. You know, these are the beautiful people. You don't want to lose these people because they really convey.
And see, the beautiful part too is her sisters were one from Mexico and one from California. So she was with her sister. So it was a really special moment.
It really was. It was really nice. So anyway, the seven churches. You're not going to. Are you doing that this year?
Because yeah.
You're still doing it if you're here.
Because hopefully we're leaving Friday morning.
Wow, that's going to be a.
So I'm going to be up, and we always do this. So I can't not do this.
Well, you guys usually do it together, don't you?
Yes, yeah. we go with Tony and Angelica, my mom and I.
Yeah,
okay. It's a beautiful tradition.
Do you know where the? Well, you don't know where it comes from.
No,
I'll tell you.
Tell us, Father.
Okay. I figured that's what today would be about.
Yeah. So, anybody, you know, Chicago, this is a big thing in Chicago. It was a really big thing, you know, way back when, but still is. But it used to be that, kind of like in Rome, and you'll hear this from St. Philip Neri, but because churches are in close proximity to each other. In Chicago, and in Rome too, because I did this. Well, let me just tell you the origins of this. What it is what we're talking about here is on Holy Thursday, after the Mass, the tradition is to visit seven churches, and let's put things in perspective. Now you got to remember, it used to be that the Holy Thursday Mass was celebrated in the morning. And so people would spend the whole day walking from church to church.
Wow.
Now it's in the evening, and so people come in buses here. But in Rome, that wouldn't be the case because everything is so close. So after the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, this is an ancient Catholic tradition. I was curious about this as well. It goes back to the 16th century in Rome. St. Philip Neri, who's also known as the second apostle of Rome after St. Peter, and I didn't know that, would led many devotees in a walking pilgrimage to the cobblestone streets of Rome, visiting seven basilicas, the seven basilicas of Rome. Now he was born into a noble working family in Florence, in Italy. He was called by God, you know, as he says, a much greater purpose. He left everything behind to start a life in Rome as a missionary and healer of broken souls. And with the church and the people of Rome in dire need of spiritual renewal and revival, when are we never in need of spiritual renewal and revival? But St. Philip sought to guide the flock entrusted to his care to live a holier, virtuous, and joyful life. And he walked the path of a poor pilgrim, often roaming through the ancient streets of Rome each day and visiting the seven churches of Rome, the forgotten catacombs as well, and the tombs of the great saints, and they're all over the place in Rome. He worked relentlessly for the salvation of souls. So this is what I was going to say. I do when I go to Rome. This is what I do. Every day is like a walking pilgrimage for me. I go from.
That's great.
I'll have coffee. and croissant.
Now I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some cheese.
Oh,
at
no.
the
That's it. I'm going for
right outside the Pantheon, which is the church of Saint Mary of the Martyrs, I think. Saint Mary of the Martyrs, I think that's the name of it. The church, but it's the Piazza Rotondo, I believe. Rotondo is what they call it. And so I would sit out there and pray my breviary there and just watch the people, you know, as they pass through the piazza. And it's just beautiful, actually beautiful. And then from there, I'll begin my journey. I'll go to... I'm not going to tell you all the churches I go to, but I go into many churches. I have a routine. Mm-hmm. Our Lady of Minerva, where St. Catherine of Siena is buried, at least her body, her head's in Siena.
She's all over the place.
She's all over the place. And it's a long tradition in Italy with the saints. And then I would go from there, cross over the Tiber to Santa Maria de Trastevere. In the oldest, was the oldest Jewish, where Peter actually, when he came from Antioch, he went and he settled in this part of Rome because it was a Jewish, the oldest Jewish settlement in Europe, as I read. And so that's St. Maria de Trastevere, and just beautiful church. And I would spend an hour there, and then from there I'd make my walk to St. Peter's, which is about a 20-minute walk, 20-25-minute walk, more or less, along the Tiber to St. Peter's and make a holy hour there. And anyway, that's a big, but I spend the whole day. I go, take my lunch break, you know, and have coffee breaks and all that in the piazzas. It's just very beautiful. And I also did go to the four major basilicas. I spent a day walking to all those basilicas, St. Peter's, St. Mary Major, St. John Lateran, and St. Paul outside the wall. That's a long, long walk. The other churches are in close proximity. St. John Lateran, St. Mary Major are very close to each other. St. Peter's is a little bit farther away, maybe about a 40-minute walk. But St. Paul outside the wall is quite a distance. And that's where the body of St. Paul is buried. St. Peter, of course, and on the Vatican Hill. All right. So anyway, this is what St. Philip would do. That he would walk the path of a poor pilgrim, roaming the streets the streets of Rome, these cobblestone streets, and he'd visit the catacombs. Have to go outside the city, but in any case, he would befriend others, and he just had this great burning love for all souls, whether sinners, unbelievers, or the broken, and he wanted to win them over, lead them to Christ. And so this, in his words, you know, these are his words: cheerfulness strengthens the heart and helps us to persevere. A servant of God ought always to be in good spirits. Charity and cheerfulness, or charity and humility, should be our motto. So as I think many would attest to the fact that I need more cheerfulness in my life. You know, I always stumble over the word joy. You know, I have a joy. You know, it's kind of deep seated. It's inside, but I'm not. I'm not a happy go lucky kind of a person. You know, but it's a good thing. I'm not without joy. You know,
right.
So a bit too serious sometimes. I think I was writing to one of the priests. You know, these exchanges. I said, well. This is a little of a messianic complex that I bear within myself, and the Lord hasn't been able to break me of it. So I feel like I've got to, you know, solve the problems of the world, and so that kind of zaps me of the joy a little bit. You know? And everybody challenged me. You gotta look. You know, you're a resurrectionist. You got to see beyond the cross. I keep saying that. I really do. But there is a realism to what's happening in the world today, and it does cause one to feel to have a heavy heart, because you hear the stories, you listen to what people are going through, and it's really sad, very, very sad. So anyway, this is basically how that started. And then he, so to bring hope, joy, peace, and unity to the people of Rome, at a time when the vices of pride, corruption, and materialism were prevalent, and many Catholics were lukewarm, St. Philip found creative ways to revive the faith. And this was one of the things that he began the tradition of walking the seven churches in Holy Week in the dead of night, reflecting on the passion of Christ. You know the story. You know, Jesus, it really comes from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, do you know why seven?
Mm-hmm. It was during his, what he went through, the passion. They kept on, he went to the Sanhedrin? Then they took him to Kai.
Hey, you do know that. Then.
Yeah, the different.
How'd you know that?
Because every
She's
year,
because
when we go, we read, there's the prayers.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen it.
That we do.
Christina pays attention. See, I still have issues with that.
Well, that's
not good with that.
I didn't know this.
Oh, no?
No, no. I did not. I knew that it was, you know, because Jesus said, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to Peter, James, and John, he took all the apostles down there, the 11, Judas had already gone to betray him, and he took the 11 down with him to the Garden of Gethsemane after instituting the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood and his farewell discourse, his high priestly prayer. He took them down to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he took Peter, James, and John deeper into the garden and asked them to, you know, keep watch with him, right? And of course, they slept. And so take it, you know, we can take from Luke's gospel. I've got it here. Let's see. I'm sorry. Luke 39. So yeah, then going out, Then going out, he went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not undergo the test." After withdrawing about a stone's throw away from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still not my will, but yours be done." And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping and from grief. He said to them, "While you're sleeping, get up and pray that you may not undergo the test." Well, you know, it's the first time I really caught that they were sleeping from grief. This is in Luke's gospel, so there's a little bit of variations of the version, but it's the first I really, it's funny, I never, they were sleeping from grief.
Which makes sense with all the emotions that went into the whole story.
Right.
So I never, it's the first time I...
Yeah,
now that you pointed it out.
Because, you know, there's different versions.
Yes.
I mean, it's all the same. There's just, that's the first
different
time I remember hearing the word grief.
Yes.
So that was the first of the seven. And then the second one is Jesus before Annas in John's Gospel, chapter 18, 19. Chapter 18, 19 to 22, the high priest questioned Jesus mm-hmm. about his disciples
yes.
and about his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken publicly to the world. I have always taught in a synagogue or in the temple area where all the Jews gather, and in secret I have said nothing. Why ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the temple guards standing there struck Jesus and said, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
And then one of the other Gospels, when the high priest asks, you know, when we go back to the I Am,
right?
He asks him, are you the Son of God?
Right.
And he says, I am. And then he rips his clothing at his response. One of the other Gospels, I don't know which one it is.
Okay, well, in John's Gospel, mm-hmm. this is what I find very, you know, and we'll talk about this probably at some point, maybe Friday when Tony's gone, you know, but on Good Friday. But the priest rent his garments. You're talking about the priest? Or the,
yeah, the priest.
Oh, the priest, yeah, the priest, right, yes, right, yes, right, yes.
Yes.
You're right, exactly. But in the garden, when he says, okay, so you've got the two things. So he said, in the garden, when the temple guard, when they go to arrest him, and he said, are you Jesus the Nazarene? Judas went with it, pointed him out, betrayed him with a kiss. And the temple guard said, are you Jesus the Nazarene? And he said, I am. And then what happened? Power came out of him, and they were blown to the ground. Because that's that whole I Am gospel.
The whole I Am, yes.
Yahweh, come to us in the flesh.
And it's still...
It's fascinating.
I would be amazed to see that. I can't...
Yeah, you mentioned that the other... we were talking about that, I think, last week.
It's amazing.
And then the third would be, is Jesus then before Caiaphas, but reading from Matthew's gospel, 26... 63. You can tell I just looked at this before.
That's where they.
Oh, this prison, is where the. Right? This is where you're. Okay, so here's where. 26:63. Here we go, Christina. This is your. Yeah. So you mentioned this. But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him in reply. You have said so, you have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his garments, or tore his robes, and said, he has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion? Then they said in reply, he deserves to die. Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying, prophesy for us, Messiah, who is it that struck you? That's you kind of broke down at that point, reading that gospel the other day. And then the next, so that's the third station, we'll call them, the third church. And then the fourth is Jesus before Pilate. So that's, again, chapter 18, verse 35 and following. Let's see. So Pilate... So at this, Pilate said to them, well, let me just read. Then they brought Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was morning, and they themselves did not enter the praetorium in order not to be defiled, so that they could eat the Passover. So Pilate came out and said to them and said, what charge do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. At this, Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews answered him, we do not have the right to execute anyone, in order that the word of Jesus might be fulfilled, that he said, indicating the kind of death he would die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your nation and the chief priest handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here. So Pilate said to him, Then you are a king. And Jesus answered, You say, I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? When he had said this, he again went out to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at Passover. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They cried out again, Not this one, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a revolutionary. So I just wanted to, I think it's really important because we keep talking about the Jews. Jesus was Jewish, God in the flesh, born, he was, the Jews, the first, all his followers at that point were Jewish. The early church, the primitive church was Jewish. So I suppose, you know, if the Lord were to come today in the same way, would it not be we who would be doing this to him, yes. You know?
And we do it every day, actually, when
right. Sin.
When we sin, yes.
So it's not a condemnation mm-hmm. of the Jewish people, but this is all happening within the nation, within Judaism. It's not a nation, but the people of the covenant, the old covenant, because God formed this people, that from this people the Messiah would come. And as I say so often, one nation would Catholicize, universalize. It would be the universal and eternal covenant, the new covenant, where the and these are all Jews, the apostles. You know, he says, "Go to all the nations and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Call people to repent, forgive sins. What sins you forgive, they're forgiven. What sins you retain, are retained. But to go to all the nations." And in fact, it was a persecutor of the Christians, because the Jews were called Christians then, those who accepted the Christ. And they still went to the synagogue, but eventually they were forbidden from being in the synagogue because of their acceptance of Christ as the Messiah. But one of the great persecutors of the Christians was Saul, who Jesus appeared to him and said, you know, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He was blinded. He was made blind in order that he be that his eyes be open. And he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Jesus, and you are persecuting me and persecuting the people, my people. You persecute me. This is my body." And Paul has this powerful conversion. For 3 days, he remains blind. And he becomes the apostle to the. He's the one who really puts it into. That takes those words of Jesus and really puts them into practice. He begins to lead the church beyond Judaism to the Gentile world and the non-believers and the like. All right, so that is the fourth.
The fourth.
We'll take a break, Nick, and then we'll come back and we'll finish with these other three. Okay. Thanks for bearing with me. I'm just looking at this for the first time, so I haven't
kind of stumbled. No, you're bringing up really good points, Father, that I never really...
Yeah, I agree. I don't remember ever reading that. So, anyway, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now, you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, Click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, TNTC. Tony, Nick, Tony, and Christina. Really happy to have Christina back. So you've got to forgive me because I'm looking at, I've got the Bible here going, flipping back and forth from the different Gospels because there's a custom, a tradition, and I knew this is, I just didn't know that they had the seven stations, you know. But this is a custom after the Holy Thursday Mass, this goes back to the 16th century, St. Philip Neri, is the one who started the practice to revive the faith, looking for creative ways to bring revival to the faith. And so people would visit the seven churches, and there's, call it seven stations, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, so we've talked about that, Jesus before the priest Annas, before the high priest Caiaphas, before Pilate, now who? So now we're talking about the fifth.
The fifth
station is Jesus before Herod.
Oh, Herod, okay.
Before Herod. So on hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean, and upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been waiting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Even Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him, and after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Mm-hmm. And so then we go. So then the sixth station is when you go back to Pilate. And with that, we go back to Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 27, I might have already read this one because I had gone on, So Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus called Messiah?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." But he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They only shouted louder, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water, washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves." And the whole people said in reply, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. So that would be the sixth station. And then the final station, the final church, is actually the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. Then the soldiers, with Matthew's gospel, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him, weaving a crown out of thorns. They placed it on his head. I know what's the problem is I'm trying to see through these that's why I'm tripping over my words, because I'm looking through this microphone. Mm-hmm. Already. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
So weaving a crown of thorns, they placed it on his head, and a reed at his right hand, in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him. And they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God, and come down from that cross." Likewise, the chief priest with the scribes and elders mocked him and said, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel? Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. So you get the other version of Dismas, who says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. In any case, because we're out of time here, but Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he breathes his last, he dies. So that's the last station. Well, we're out of time, but we'll be coming back to this during the week. And everybody, have a blessed Holy Week, and plan on participating in the Sacred Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. Here, 7 o'clock Thursday, 3 o'clock Friday, 7 o'clock on Saturday. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long.